I'd think that I was being stalked in shopping centres, that people were following me. But what it would be is that we're all shopping. You tend to, meet the same person over and over again. But I kept recognising people and thinking, oh, I just saw them a minute ago.
Welcome to the Circuit Magazine, the number one source of information on protection matters, the industry-leading magazine for all security professionals who want to stay ahead of the game.
Super recognizes an EP. Today, Sean West and myself will be speaking with the amazing Kelly Desborough, super recogniser and founder of Face Detect. What are we going to be talking about today, Sean? Super recognizing faces? What's that all about?
Yeah, it is actually, and it's a skill that I never knew existed. I came across it just over a week ago, actually, when I got introduced to Kelly, and an absolute fascinating skill that where they're born with an innate ability to recognize faces from, they can look at a face for 10 seconds in a photograph, then they can go into a crowd of thousands of people and potentially pick them people out with ease. So there's many ways I could see that being of benefit to security teams. So it's great to have her on board. And actually, so she can tell us a bit about that skill and how it can benefit security companies.
Do you think that most EP professionals are good at recognizing faces anyway? I mean, surely it's what you're on the lookout for, the dodgy face. I don't know, surely there's innate ability in all EP professionals.
I don't know, you are trained, to improve your situational awareness, observational skills, etc. However, I think this is talking on a different level of actually recognizing the facial features, even when, people just try to disguise their face with growing a beard, shaving their hair, whatever it may be. It's the actual features of the face that are recognized, even when you try to change that look. So whilst people may be trained in situational awareness, good observational skills, I think being a super recognizer is, takes that to a different level, and it's maybe something that can't be taught to the same level as having that innate ability would give you.
And how do you think this fits in with other episodes that we've done on behavioral analysis? Surely it's another form of that.
I mean, absolutely, if you're working, I don't know, say a sporting venue or crowded place where you're trying to spot individuals, and maybe a super recognizer may have intelligence or something like that for particular people to look out for. But also, if someone's there and they're meaning harm, maybe they're carrying themselves in a different way. So I think to be a super recognizer and also complement that skill set by having behavioral analysis training would be almost the gold standard, right? Because you're kind of mixing the two together. And each of them are going to complement each other.
Great. Well, let's then see how that complements, the EP field. And let's, talk about super recognizers and the EP professional of tomorrow.
And now let's meet one of the contributors to the Circuit magazine.
Working with super recognizers. Today, we're delighted to welcome Kelly Desborough, super recognizer herself and founder of Face Detect. It's a lovely to have you on. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Well, Sean West and myself, delighted to look at this topic. Obviously, there are many different facets to pull out. How do you know you are one? How do you work with one? What role does it have in the world of EP? But let's go back to basics. Our three quickfire questions to get us going. What's the problem we're trying to solve here when we're investigating what a super recognizer is?
Okay, so a super recognizer is somebody who is born with an innate ability to never forget a face. So we are, operationally speaking, we're able to pick people out of a crowd that we've had maybe a glance at a photograph of. So let me look at a photo of a subject, and I will be able to go into a huge crowd and find them. So we operationally, we're extremely useful in a variety of ways.
Fantastic. That makes sense. And what about you? Where does your passion for this come from? I guess we could rephrase that to say, how did you discover that you yourself were a super recognizer?
Yeah, I was minding my own business, running my own professional photography company. I'm a commercial photographer and have been for 20 years. But I was reading a crime novel by Peter James, which it featured a super recognizer in the plot. So I Googled the term, I'd never heard of it before. And there was a short test that you can do online, which I did. I scored well in that. So I was offered extended testing by Greenwich University. And before I knew it, I found out I was the highest scoring ever super recognizer. And now I am globally the most experienced civilian super recognizer that there is. So it's been a really rather a roller coaster of a journey for me over the last 6 years. I've always been fascinated in true crime and that side of the life, but I never believed I'd be involved in it so heavily. But going from photographer 1 minute to murder investigations the next was quite a huge leap, and it's been snowballing ever since.
Wow, and highest scoring. I love that. We're very honored to have you then. This even more. But what about the EP operator out there? Maybe the solo operator, maybe the team leader. They've never really thought about this, and they may not have thought, well, where does this apply to me and my work? What should they better understand?
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. If you're creating a team, a super recognizer can come on board to add that extra level of security to your team. So we can be looking out for known individuals, fixated people, stalkers, anybody that you have intelligence with and you have a face for. We can look at those, and then we can be on the periphery. So we will be looking for that subject and getting up and getting eyes on them before they become a problem. So you could look at it from a team leader point of view. Do I want to add an extra level am I the CPO who thinks that they are always good at recognizing faces, that they keep recognizing the same people, or they can remember people from previous work, or they keep repeat recognizing? It might be worth them taking the test and having a look to see if they have the skill too, because if you're out there working in this industry and you have that skill, it's a hugely complementary skill and another string in your bow that would really help you to stand out.
That's amazing, Kelly. But one of the questions I have, I know you mentioned that you're born with it, it's an innate ability.
Yeah.
Is there any form of, I don't know, specific training that you can enhance them facial recognition abilities? And if so, what does that look like?
You can't enhance your skill as a super recognizer. You either are one or you're not. There are different levels of super recognizer. So you can be across the board good at it, i.e. you will remember faces from a long time ago. You're brilliant at matching two faces together or ruling out an ID.
Hi, Kelly. I think all that sounds great. I guess one of the questions I've got, you mentioned that you're born with this innate ability to recognize faces. And the question I have is, have you undergone any specific training to enhance your facial recognition abilities? If so, what does that look like?
Yeah, you can't enhance the ability that you're born with. It's you've either got it or you haven't. There's a small part of your brain called the fusiform gyrus, which is something we all have. And that triggers every time you look at a face. And some of us are average at recognizing. Some of us have got prosopagnosia, which means you're completely face blind. You don't recognize your own face in the mirror or your own mother's face. Or on the other end of the scale, you have super recognizers, but you can't learn it. So all you can do if you have it, and is what I've done, is train yourself on other things that are complementary. So I'm fully trained in surveillance, OSINT, and I'm hoping to do my CP training this year. There's all sorts of things you can do to enhance it. Make sure you know you have behavioral analysis, behavioral detection training, that sort of thing. So it's complementary training you can do, but you can't enhance the skill. You either have it or you don't.
Yeah, it's one of the skills I've never really heard of before, but it really impresses me. I know going away from facial recognition, I remember working on a team with a guy who had very similar skill, but it wasn't surrounding faces, it was surrounding roots. You know, mm-hmm. you could We could do different routes to different school, whatever it may be, different parts of London. He does them once, he'll never forget them. He's not from London. Wherever he goes, he just, it's dialed in. And what a skill to have. I mean, to add into a team, if you can dial all that knowledge in, it's what an amazing skill, eh? But another question I've got for you. How have you applied your skills as a super recognizer in the field of security? And is there any memorable cases where your abilities have made a significant impact?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's so many different ways it can be used. I have to say my preferred operational use is surveillance. So I absolutely love going out on foot. For example, if we are following a subject and we get a loss, if we have some sort of clue as to where they're going to be, I'm great at picking up people in a crowd. So we lost somebody not long ago on a job, and I had to go into the city and wait outside her workplace. But that happened to be one of the most busy intersections in the city with four roads converging. And I had thousands of people at rush hour to look through to see if I could find her. But when you spot your subject, they almost glow. They're like in HD and everybody else is blurred. And I picked her up straight away. So I'm helpful on surveillance, but I've done a lot of large crowd events such as Wimbledon tennis championships. The football, I've worked in the football. So I've been looking at Wimbledon. I was looking for various types, fixated fans, ticket touts, courtsiders, so illegal betting teams. I was like a kid in a sweet shop, picking people out all day long. So I'd had a briefing at the beginning of the championships with over 100 faces to look at from Intel. But I only need to look at them for a few seconds each and they're imprinted and then off I go. And it's very satisfying. It's a really wonderful feeling, a real buzz of adrenaline when you see your subject. Obviously, I can't really comment on a lot of my jobs because I'm unable to. But working with the police on murder investigations was very satisfying. I managed to get new evidence for them that helped towards a prosecution's case. Worked on some big international news stories for CNN where they've got intelligence coming through and they want me to compare faces to open source images. It's just even down to things like I work a lot with private investigators for facial comparison reports. So they might want to have a confirmation of an ID of somebody for very, various reasons. And I will create an in-depth facial comparison report that goes into the specifics of each face and the parts of the face map them so that we can show a similarity or a dissimilarity to them. And I suppose one of the most satisfying things that I've done is work with the NCPTF, which is the National Child Protection Task Force in America. And they have a global task force calling in on lots of different experts in their field. And I'm their super recognizer. And they'll get missing children cases and send me over lots of facial recognition software results to go through for them. So they might have 700 hits on an image and they won't be able to go through them. They'll give them to me and in a few minutes I'll have found who they're looking for. So one time I managed to point them in the right direction of somebody who just kidnapped two kids. And within 6 hours of my IDing the kids and the adult online, they were able to go and arrest him and save the kids. So it's such a wide variety of uses for my skill. And I'm working out new ones every day as I get asked for more assistance.
Okay. So how do we, as a super recognizer, how do you interact with technology such as facial recognition software within your work? Do you find that your skills complement the technologies or the areas where your ability surpasses the technological solutions?
I'm bound to say my ability surpasses the tech because at the end of the day, humans can do things computers can't. So with a really awful image, I'm still able to make an ID. That's one of our specialities. If you give us grainy, terrible footage or a pretty poor image or just a part of a face, we're still able to pick people out even with masks on. So yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one, but yeah, facial recognition software, I'm a huge advocate of. Even though in some states in America they've banned it, it gets bad rap sometimes. But what I always stress is, facial recognition software is only as good as the person who is analyzing that result. So it turns out fantastic results that I look at. I know it's not the right person and that it hasn't matched, but I'm always impressed by what it comes up with. But it needs somebody with enhanced facial recognition skills to analyze those results in order to make a proper decision about whether that's a correct result or not. So facial recognition software and super recognizers together, in my mind, makes a kind of superpower, but it should be used with caution.
And maybe this is just, you know, thinking along the lines of, you know, combinations and things that are complementary, like the software and your skills. What about, you know, people who've been on behavioral analysis courses, you know, watching what's not right, quote unquote. I mean, I don't know how one trains for that, but there's a fair few people now who have been on behavioral analysis courses, or even people that looked at what eyes are doing. And apparently you can tell, you know, are they thinking about a memory or something they've heard? How does all of that training link maybe to what you do?
Well, because we go out on foot into the large crowds, behavioral analysis is absolutely essential, really, I think, as a complementary skill to acquire for this work. I worked on a big event last year, and we had lots of intel. We were looking for faces, but in the end, we foiled the plot by actually using behavioral detection skills. We noticed something that wasn't right in a large arena event, and we were able to alert the security, and they picked them out, and that we were correct. They were the activists we were worrying about, and we got them gone. But yeah, it's a simple equation. You know, if you're out looking for subjects, you can add extra value to your client by also looking for people who aren't acting correctly in the environments we're working in.
And does this, I mean, if this is too personal, please let me know, but does this kind of gift ever become a little overwhelming? Like, you know, do imagine we bring super you know, recognizers onto a team. Do we need to factor in, aha, one day on, one day off?
No, very resilient. It's quite astonishing, really. I mean, we've had jobs with 100 plus faces that we need to recognize, and we can work on them for weeks. It's no problem. We don't get any more tired than our colleagues who aren't super recognizers. So no downtime required. It's hard, because what you're doing is you're concentrating on every face. You're scanning crowds constantly, but you get used to that. It's just becomes second nature anyway. So no, it's not a concern.
Okay. So how do you see the role of super recognizers evolving with advancements in security technology? Do you think there'll always be need for human skills like yourself?
I really do believe so. Yeah. It goes back to, we would complement the tech, but there's nothing better than a human brain. And we need to make sure that we're searching for super recognizers, identifying them, picking out the best ones that can do this job, and making the world understand what we're capable of, from law enforcement, private security, and everything in between. You know, we can make a real difference. We work fast. We're a cheap option. You know, we don't cost tens of thousands of pounds to install. You just use us for a job and we're there, you know. So we can give accurate and quick information to you within seconds. I don't need 10 minutes to study a face to decide whether it's them or not. If we're out and about and I see that person, it's a split second, and then I can point everyone in the right direction. So we're value for money. And I think that that's my main mission, is to get the word out about us so that people understand what we're capable of and how we complement teams. This is what I get a bit of pushback in. I wonder whether people think we're trying to replace team members. We don't replace anybody. Everyone has their skill. we are a different additional layer of security. We don't replace anybody, we just complement a team so we can fit in around a team. If companies want to add that extra layer and show forward thinking to their clients, then putting super recognizers into their teams is a good way to do that.
Great. So what advice would you give to security professionals who don't have super recognizer skills but wish to improve their observational skills?
Yeah, I mean, the best way I would say is to train in behavioral detection, behavioral analysis. Surveillance teaches you everything about being observant and what to look for, ways to describe people, quick fire stuff. You've got to be such a multitasker in this business. And but you may feel that you are quite good at recognizing faces and that you aren't. To be fair, I had no idea I had this skill, and I thought I was doing exactly the same as everybody else. So the same way we all think we're seeing the same color blue in the sky, I thought everybody recognized everybody always, and I didn't realize I was any different to anyone else. So you don't know, maybe there are security professionals and professionals in your industry that have this skill, and they need to go and have a look at the test. There's a really quick test that you can do. It's on my website, and it takes about 5 minutes to do. It's 14 questions, and you observe faces and you have to match them up. And if you get a good score on that, it's only a fun test, very quick, but if you get a good score on that, it's well worth doing the extended testing that Greenwich University offer. And then that will give you, that will give you the information you need to know whether you are indeed a super recognizer. And I'm always on the lookout to add to my team of trusted individuals that I can send out on jobs with me.
I guess you probably have had the guess who analogy before. Is there any sort of daily practice that people can do to try and improve their memory? And I suppose along with that, does this ability link extra information? So not just faces, because I could well imagine, let's say one of these super assistants to a CEO, if they had this gift, they could say, aha, this is Mrs. Smith. She is such and such a person. And that would very much facilitate the executive's day.
Yeah, that's a great question. Being a super recognizer doesn't mean you're necessarily brilliant at anything else, particularly memory-wise. It's linked to faces. That's the part of the brain that's working out. But what you will find is that if you've had a point of reference, you need some sort of context. So let's just say I'm walking down the street and I'm taking all the faces in. I'll probably see one of those faces again, could be a couple of years time, and I'll know them, but I won't have a clue where I know them from because I haven't needed to take them in any context. So it might be somebody I've met in the street or walked past in the street, sorry. But if I've spoken to that person, or if I've had to look at them, or if I've been served by them in a shop or in a bar or something, if I've had some context, some point of reference, I will then be able to recall it. Sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to get it, but it will come to me. So there's not a lot you can do to practice it because, again, it's you've either got it or you haven't. But if you feel that you have got it, there are, it's just a matter of what we will find is you'll be watching the TV and you'll see an actor in that role, and you've seen them before, and it would have been something you watched 20 years ago and they looked entirely different, and you'll surprise yourself at how time can go past. People's appearances completely change, but you 100% can recognize them in an instant. So yeah, difficult to practice, but the problem I had personally was before I knew I was a super recognizer, I used to approach people I hadn't seen for decades and bound up to them in the street and, shout their name and say, oh my God, I can't believe it's you. And they'd look at me blankly as if to say, please leave me alone, you weirdo. And I would at time after time, I would be disappointed that no one remembered me. And I seemed to put far too much attention on remembering people. So I thought I was totally forgettable and I put too much effort into remembering others. And so it was quite a relief to find out that I have this skill. I'd think that I was being stalked in shopping centres, that people were following me. But what it would be is that we're all shopping. You tend to, you know, meet the same person over and over again. But I kept recognising people and thinking, oh, you know, I just saw them a minute ago. And so, again, it's nice to understand what's going on now. I don't approach people from, I give it, you know, maybe 20 years ago, but not 30, 35. Too embarrassing.
it's an amazing skill, right? It's one of the things that's really embarrassing when you go to a networking event and you bump up the morning and you say hi, and someone remembers you, but you don't remember them. And you're trying to put a name on the face. How did you know them previously? Where did you meet? And you have a bit of, you know, arm wrestling back and forth to try and lead some questioning to where you remember them from. But yes, it's definitely still remembering names and faces. And
I wish that names came included in this skill. I really do. It doesn't.
Yeah, rather, I'll be honest. It's even people I know rather well. Sometimes I blank out. It happened at an event. It was introducing my best bud. And I suddenly couldn't do it. I guess that depends on how many people you deal with, mate, because at the Apex, I have so many guest speakers and panelists in a given year. The Apex a couple of years ago, I had 800 in one year, and it just gets hard. It gets hard to manage. What do you think we could sort of focus on when we're building out, you know, the EP team of the future? Let's say we want to incorporate a super recognizer on the team. Do we want a super recognizer who's just one of the team? Do we want a super recognizer who's specialized in intelligence? Maybe this is also a question for Sean, because obviously, you know, Sean would integrate such a professional into the team. Where do they sit? Let's say I'm a team leader and I have, you know, this skill, that person. Where does the super recognizer fit in, Sean?
I think it depends on the client, the budget, all of that sort of thing. Because if you've got a client with a big budget, then you can introduce them to someone like Kelly and say, look, this is a, you know, real complementary skill addition that we can add to this team on top of the team, right? Where if the budget's smaller, maybe she has to be integrated within the team and fill a dual role, such as a close protection operator, alongside having that additional skill and capability she has. So I think it's, if I'm Kelly and I'm sitting thinking about where do I market myself, it's just drilling down where are her skills best marketed, best placed, and is it being as part of a close protection team and having that skill, or is it completely niching down and saying, I am a super recognizer and these are the skills I can bring to you, your organization, your company, whatever it is, and you focus on that alone. But yeah, you completely see the benefits of how you would use them, but where you would fit them in, it would all be dependent on budget, client, and the client's value of the perceived skill.
Maybe celebrity or politician. I don't know. You know, someone to look at fixated individuals.
And we need intelligence. So it's no good getting a super recognizer on board if you don't have known faces that you want us to look for. So that's the basis of our use, is that if you have known individuals that you are concerned about, and you have images of them, that's where we come in. So as long as we have faces in intelligence and we can use those, that's where we're useful. So I would imagine seeing us as part of a team, we've got to be probably on the ground with the team, I would imagine, on the outskirts looking in.
Oh, absolutely. It's very unique skill. I'd never become aware of it until we'd spoken. How can awareness of such a skill be improved?
So you can have a look on my website. That gives you all the information you need about super recognizers. So my website is facedetect.co.uk. The leading research scientific research for super recognition is carried out by Greenwich University in this country. And if you just Google super recognizers, you'll find Greenwich University's website as well, which gives you loads of scientific background on it and research. Yeah, have a dig in. But I would encourage everyone to have a go at the test, because it takes 5 minutes. It's good fun. And you might surprise yourself at how well you do. I do get a lot of people saying to me, oh, yeah, I can do that. Yeah. And they'll do the test and fail miserably. So it's quite an eye opener. It's interesting to have a go.
You might be surprised, but you might also be scared.
Yeah.
How bad your memory actually is.
I thought of something else that maybe we could flip it. We have a lot of colleagues who like to operate covertly or secretly. I mean, it's a spectrum, isn't it, right? You know, hiding your purpose and hiding yourself. Is there anything they should do to hide themselves from people like you if they don't want to be seen?
Well, it's tricky. We're a sly bunch. There's not much that gets past us. We've even been able to ID people, even when they put filters on their faces with various apps. And like I said, one of the most famous IDs was made by a Metropolitan Police officer in the London riots in 2010, I think it was, 2010, 2011. And there was some CCTV of a guy who was seen mugging another guy, and he had a scarf pulled up over his face and a hat on, so you could just see his eyes, and he knew who he was straight away. And when I was lucky enough to then see the mugshot and the footage, and I would have been able to make that idea if I'd have got the mugshot in front of me, but this guy had the on the ground experience, knew that offender already. So brilliant, he got him, you know, straight away. So yeah, it's going to be hard to get past us, because, you know, if you have a look on my blog, there's a post there that shows my first ever spot, which is a guy who's fresh-faced, blonde spiky hair, about 18, 19 years old. And then when I spotted him, he was probably in his 30s. He's got slick down hair and a huge bushy beard, but I still got him straight away. So yeah, a lot of covering up of the face would work, but if I can see any of your face, then, and I know your face well, then you're in trouble.
I don't know. Well, good warning, I suppose. Yeah, because you know, there are people that just wanna be covert for whatever reason. So sure. I think that'd be good. Where can people next find you? Are you going to be at any events? Are you writing anything? Where can people learn more? I know you gave us your website, which we will put in the comment section as
okay,
we do
all
the time. But will we find you? Oh, I don't know. You're the observant one. But will we find you anywhere soon?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be at. I haven't got anything. I've got quite a lot of work this year, and so I won't be around for a lot of the events. But I'm going to be at this CP World conference in November. I've been offered to do some speaking spots, so I will put those on my website if I'm going to be doing that. And I'd love to write a piece for your magazine too, if you'd have me. So yeah, and I can give more information on there. So yeah, that's the kind of plan at the moment, but things are very busy. I seem to be being pulled left, right and center at the moment, so it's all very good fun.
Well, we definitely want to have you write an article for the magazine. We try to bring the pages of the magazine to life with the podcast, which is why we're so keen to do this. And I appreciate this is an EP adjacent topic,
yes,
but one that, you know, hey, is very complimentary. And then maybe an EP operator can enhance their skills, particularly the people who are very good at behavioral analysis. You mentioned before OSINT. Lots of people, Sean included, been on OSINT courses. It's very, very complimentary.
Exactly. Yeah, I've done my OSINT training as well, and it all comes together to provide quite a nice package for clients. So yeah, it's all working out well. So I'd love to hear from any of your EP guys that think they've got this skill. You know, love to hear from anyone who wants to know a bit more about it. And like I said, I'm looking for new guys, new people that think they might be a super recognizer. So yeah, get in touch.
Fantastic. Okay, well, this has been uncovering super recognizers and looking at where it applies to the world of EP and you, the listener. Fantastic to have the fantastic Kelly Desborough on from Sean West and myself. This has been another fantastic edition of the Circuit Magazine podcast. Well, thank you very much, Kelly. And, you know, super recognizable. I'm gonna try and remember at that and try and improve my guess who skills. What did you take away today, Sean?
I think the skill's fascinating. And I think I mentioned in the podcast, there's a guy I used to work with, and whilst it's not recognizing faces, one of the skills he had was literally you could look at a map, do a route once, and that was it. It was dialed in. And I just remember thinking I could go over that route 6-7 times before I would have it to the nth degree where he would have it. And it's just, I was always impressed by that skill, his ability to do it. And I think this is a different skill set because it's recognizing faces, right? But yeah, I guess it's just a fascinating skill that, as Kelly said, you know, it can be taught. Of course, you can improve your observational skills, memory skills, things like that. But to be able to just pick someone out in a crowd at the drop of a hat after seeing a face for 10 seconds is something that can't really be taught.
And I find that overwhelming. Now, I know that Kelly said, you know, for her and maybe others like her, it's not overwhelming. But I think that would mean we need someone dedicated as part of the team. Otherwise, if I did upskill and I didn't have the innate ability, I do worry that I'd be forever, face. You know, I think that means we need to integrate a specific person into the team.
Yeah, I think if you are using someone like Kelly, who had that skill set within a team, you'd definitely try to use that skill set as a force multiplier. So certainly if you had you're looking for a client who had, I don't know, raving fans or, you know, people who were causing problems, sending letters, problem individuals that people were on the lookout for, then you'd definitely use Kelly in that place to spot them individuals, right? But one of the things I thought was interesting, which she said, was when she was younger, meeting people, came across people years later on and walk across the street and say, "Hey, Pelham, you know, how are you?" And people would look at her crazily, you know, "Where do I know you from?" And I've had this when I've been at events and going from one year to the next, right? You know, I can't remember your name, they can't remember my name, and you can see it and it can be embarrassing. But I guess for her, and I think we spoke separately, you know, it could be quite lonely, right? If you're, why does nobody remember me? Because at that time, she didn't know she had that skill set.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a wonder. You know, how come I'm the one that has to initiate everything? Well, because you know, not everyone has that skill, and it happened. You know, to me, and probably to you, and you know, to Elijah and John, that we've been at events and people are like, "Ah, that voice." Because, of course, this podcast is audio, you know, first, and maybe you don't know us, and I know hashtag face for radio. Thank you very much. But at the same time, you know, it is nice when people make that connection. What's next then? What's coming up? I'll throw out there that this week, as this episode airs, I'm at ACES Europe in Vienna, so I hope to see lots of people there. But what about for you, Sean? What's happening in your world?
I guess for me, I'm working a lot at the moment where I've kind of focused on working with security business owners who are kind of stuck and looking to, I don't know, take their business to the next level. Mainly people who are, I don't know, ex-military maybe. They've started a security company, but they haven't necessarily had the training in how to run and grow a business. And they've hit a brick wall and then they've come to me and I'm working with them and it's getting really busy. What's really good about it is seeing the success that some of these guys are having where they've been stuck and didn't know where to turn previously. So I'm really enjoying that new, you know, career field that I pivoted into. Next for the magazine, we're still working on the upcoming issue. I think Kelly's going to provide us an article, which will be great. I think Sandra, who was on one of our last podcasts, she's also going to provide us an article. And anyone else who's out there and interested in providing an article that would be of interest to people in the security space, particularly the EP space, then please feel free to get in touch.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to it. I really enjoy it, as I do with the newsletter. I think I made a comment online, the On the Circuit newsletter. Always look forward to that. Great distillation. And also, I'm always curious as to which podcast episode is featured, because, you know, that is editor's choice. So even exciting for us working within the magazine. I really appreciate it. Well, super recognizer. I'm going to have to take that test myself, at least the initial test, to see maybe I am. I doubt I am, because I just don't think I am. But what about you, Sean? Do you think you are?
I'm fairly certain. I'm certain that I'm not a super recognizer. However, I may take the test just for the fun of it.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Call to action, everybody. Take the test and find out. And you'll find that on the site that we put in the link in our description of the podcast. So, super recognizing from Sean West and myself, this has been another fantastic edition of the Circuit Magazine podcast.
You have been listening to the Circuit Magazine podcast. Be sure to subscribe and be sure to not miss an episode.